Hello and welcome to Launch. We are broadcasting live from the great city of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Ron Reardon. My co-host is Bill McHenry. Bill, how are things going for you today?
Absolutely fantastic, Ron. I'm in Michigan today, and it's a beautiful sunny day. No complaints whatsoever.
Okay, I wish I was there with you, because it's not anything but sunny here today. Well, you know, Bill, on Launch, we focus on the launching of a business so that entrepreneurs can successfully navigate their launch. This morning, we're featuring Ron Roach of Wisconsin PharmaCal. But before we get started, Bill, could you thank today's sponsor?
I sure will, Ron. Today, our sponsor is Envision Sales and Marketing. Envision Sales and Marketing is your one-stop source for all your sales, marketing, and business development needs. We customize and implement a business strategy to help build your business, grow your sales, and encourage your success.
And we really appreciate their support.
And we do, Ron. And today, Ron, I'm really thrilled. Being a sales guy myself, I'm always thrilled when we have a guest on the show that's in sales. And today, we're very fortunate to have Ron Roach as a guest today. Ron is a national account manager for a company in Wisconsin called Wisconsin PharmaCal. Ron is originally from Barbados, and came to the United States in 1984. He graduated from James Madison College in Milwaukee. Ron has been in the sales arena for well over 20 years now, and has a great deal of success. And I've always enjoyed working with Ron, and I thought he would be just a super guest on the show today. And I think our listeners can really pick up some real tidbits from him. Hi, Ron. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Really good, thanks.
Good. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, sure. It's great. And, you know, and as you and I, Ron Roach, have talked about over time is that the one thing that entrepreneurs and business owners need are sales. And sales is really the only function in the company that is actually bringing in money, as you know.
Absolutely, and one of the things that I must bring to the table right away is that a big part of the sales process is obviously, as you know, relationships and building those solid relationships with, in my case, with the major retail chains, and to continually seek out new opportunities in terms of products that we are currently doing for other retail chains, or are possibly some new products that are on the horizon for those retail chains.
It's interesting you say the relationships, Ron, and that's one thing that you and I both talked about, is developing those relationships. How have you developed relationships with buyers over the years?
Well, it all starts with, believe it or not, it all starts with a cold call, and I know some salespeople are a little apprehensive about making cold calls, but the way I see cold calls are you're introducing yourself and you're introducing your company to prospects and to clients, and that's a simple way that it starts, and offering the clients what you believe is a good or service that will enhance their business and make their business more profitable. And I think that's the biggest thing that you have to look at is what can you bring to the table to make them more successful.
And Ron,
what are some of the similarities about buyers throughout the country, Ryan? What are they looking for?
The big thing about the retail chain buyers, because we currently produce products and sell products to pretty much the four major retailers in the country: Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and some others regionally like HEB and Safeway and Kroger and so on and so forth. And the major similarities between the buyers are they're continually looking for products that, number one, are innovative, number two, that are profitable, and number three, that will not sit on their shelf but will make something called turns. It will turn and it will move from their shelf in as quickly of a time frame as possible. Those are the three similarities I think that a lot of buyers have in terms of what they're looking for in the industry.
You know, you mentioned the word turn. Explain that to our audience.
Sure. The word turn means that how many times a product will sell and be replaced on the shelf throughout a certain cycle, depending on the historical movement of that particular product. So buyers will look for look at that historical data in terms of how often they'll be able to replace that product on their shelf to keep it moving.
Okay. And then most customers have like a plan that they need a certain number of turns per year, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that keeps the product not only on the shelf and moving, but it keeps them, number one, they're reordering the product, but they all also look for products that they know will be very good margin on those products, and typically products that will keep customers coming back.
Okay.
And Ron, how much traveling do you do, and where do you go, and how long does it take?
Sure. I usually travel throughout the United States, so typically I make appointments with the category managers of a particular company. So I could be in New York one day, Southern California the next, in Portland the next day, and in Southern Florida the next day. So it's certainly retailer. I go to the corporate offices of those particular retailers. So I have contacts at, you name it, the Duane Reade and Walgreens and Walmart and Safeway and Publix and HEB and Kroger and so on and so forth. There are a lot of retail chains out there to do business with. So my job is pretty much to travel to those sites and present our products to those particular category managers that are responsible for either, whether it's a feminine hygiene product or whether it's a first aid product or whether it's a family planning product. The different retailers have different review schedules. And I set up those appointments to go out to those retailers to review our products and what our offerings are that fit within the schedule of when they're looking at those products.
And the people that you're meeting with, are they there for 30 years, or do you find that there's frequent turnover?
You know, that's an excellent question, and it really depends on the retailer. Some retailers in the country love buyers that are very, very knowledgeable, and they keep those buyers there for, 10, 15 years. But in recent years, what has happened in terms of the industry is that a lot of retail chains have pretty much moved buyers around because they want the buyers, number one, to get the experience of other categories within the company. In addition to that, I believe that, some of the corporate heads don't want that, truly relationships to be developed between buyers and sellers where it could cause any conflicts of interest. So within certain accounts there's a lot of movement in terms of buyers shifting around to different positions.
How do you get around that, Ron, when you have a customer that you're calling on and you know that the person you're presenting to is not really the decision maker?
Well, it gets our foot in the door. Even if I'm not speaking with the decision maker, at least in that respect, you're getting your information in the hands of someone at that company and then following up with that particular person. And if that particular person is not the decision maker, finding out exactly who the decision maker is and making sure that information does indeed get to that that final decision maker. That's always a challenge in sales, but it's also a very key point in getting to that decision maker to move the process forward. So it's just a matter of plugging away and getting to that right person.
And you and I have talked about before, and a lot of people when they, like in the retail segment, for instance, people think of Walmart and Home Depot. There's a lot of other customers to call on. And tell our listeners what you think the pros and cons are of working with a smaller customer versus a customer, a behemoth like a Walmart.
Sure. Some of the smaller customers, sometimes the smaller retail chains are a little hesitant to make a big decision. Some of them like to take a back seat to the Walmarts of the world to make sure that they're not taking a chance on a product that has not been yet tested in the industry. So some retail chains say, you know what, let's see how it does at Walmart or a big retailer. And then after they see how the product has perform there at one of the big retailers, then they would consider bringing it in after it's been proven. But you do have some smaller regional chains like a HEB in San Antonio, Texas, which is a grocery store chain in San Antonio, that they are indeed forward thinking. And one of the directives from an account like HEB, even though they only have, let's say, 350 stores versus several thousand stores from a Walmart, is that their instructions to us was, anything that you present to a Walmart-type account, we will also want to see it at the same time, because we also want to be at the forefront of that decision-making in terms of seeing a product first. And that has served HEB very, very well, because in the San Antonio market, HEB is the lead-in retailer in terms of food, drug, mass. And Walmart takes a backseat to HEB in that San Antonio market, so it has worked out very well for them.
That's interesting.
About calling on a big customer versus a small customer as far as supplying them? What can you tell us about the pros and cons with the supply chain?
Some pros and cons in terms of the supply chain with the bigger accounts. It's really getting products that are original, that are on the market already, but doing a little bit different technology in terms of a different delivery system or a different formula to make an existing product better. And I think that with a company, let's say for instance, like a Walmart, they're looking for new innovative products. One of the biggest differences between working with, let's say, for instance, a Walmart-type account versus another account is that sometimes buyers at Walmart are at a Walmart corporate office. They want to be the very first ones to see a product, and if they do determine that they like that particular product, they want to get it in their stores and on their shelves as quickly as possible. And that's one of the definitely the thing that's a little bit different about a bigger type account like that. They want to be the first, and they want to do it best, and they want to do it right. And I think that that's one of the biggest differences.
A lot of entrepreneurs, think if they don't sell Walmart, then they don't have a chance to be in retail. And that's the case in a lot of big market segments where there's a big customer. What do you think of that comment? Is that true? If you don't sell the big fish, then you're out of luck?
Absolutely not. We currently have products that have performed in other retail chains that are anywhere between 100 stores and 300 stores, 400 stores, and that have performed exceptionally well. And a particular buyer at the bigger store, like a Walmart, may have passed on that item. But once they've seen that other smaller regional accounts are carrying that particular product and are doing well in it, then they take a second look at it. And sometimes they have reversed their decisions based on that data, working with the smaller chains, seeing that, oh, you know what, we made a mistake. You know, let's put it in. Let's try it. We didn't make the right call in this instance.
Ron, tell our listeners a typical day of Ron Roach. What is your typical day?
Oh boy, if it's if it includes traveling, a typical day is getting up at 3-4 a.m., hopping on a 5 a.m. flight, going out to, let's say for instance, an AMP account, which is a grocery store chain in the Northeast. Landing at let's say 10 o'clock, having a 1 o'clock appointment with the buyer, showing them that our products, and then hopping on a 5 o'clock flight and getting home at 10, 11 at night. That's typically the day when you're traveling. When you're in the office, you're doing a ton of follow-up work in terms of making sure that you are on the review schedules of that particular retailer, and making sure that you don't miss any windows to review that particular product that you have to sell to them, because typically if you do miss that window, either you have to wait 6 months or even a year if you miss that window. So making sure you don't miss any review windows depending on the type of product that you have, and making those follow-up calls to make sure that the customer has what they need in order to make a decision, or making sure that you definitely do not miss that review period, because I think that's key. And if you miss that period, you're out of luck for a few months.
Mm-hmm. So, tell our listeners how you make a cold call. What are the steps to making a cold call?
Well, steps of making a cold call is, I believe, you definitely need your contacts in terms of whatever industry that you're in. And simply, introducing yourself and introducing the products of your company and making sure that your products can indeed in some way help that particular customer succeed. I think that's the biggest key that as a salesperson that I bring to the table is that, yes, I want to make a sale, but more importantly, how am I going to make my client more profitable? And as long as you keep that in the back of your mind and making sure that your sales calls and your presentation and your follow-up all keep that in mind of how can we make them more successful. It's just a matter of getting to the right person, finding out exactly how your products fit into their big plans for success, and making sure that you don't miss any of the follow-ups necessary to make that happen.
How do you research those customers? When you decide you want to make a cold call, when you decide that you're going to put aside an hour worth of time to look for a new customer, tell our listeners what you do for that hour. What's the first steps and how do you walk through it to finally make the actual connection?
First, what I do is I get a list of current retailers in the country, and the number of stores are always changing. But let's say, for instance, if I go to NACDS.org, which is the National Association of Chain Drug Stores. They have a complete list of all retail chains in the country and a number of pharmacies and a number of stores that they have. Once you get that particular list, and then what I do is I call their main number, and I call their main phone number for the receptionist, and my first comment to them is, my name is Ron Roach. I'm with Wisconsin PharmaCal Company. We sell the Coleman insect repellent line. Who is the name of the buyer that handles insect repellents? And then once I get that name, then, I ask to speak to that person. And the first question that I have for them, I introduce who I am, but I also say, when are you reviewing insect repellents for the next reset? And then they tell me when they're reviewing it, and I make sure that I get them out samples of our products, including some information. And another big thing that buyers look at is the distribution list. They want to know who you're working with now in terms of the products and which retail chains the products are in. And in addition to that retail list, the distribution list, samples of the products, information about the products, then I make another, after I send the samples out, I make another follow-up call to say, did you get the samples? Can we set up a face-to-face appointment? And this, go in there and see them and talk to them about our products and talk to them about placement.
How long does it typically take if you made your first connection with a customer and doesn't know Ron Roach and Wisconsin PharmaCal from Adam, from the time that first connection has happened to the day that they place an order, how long does that typically take?
Typically that takes about, I would say several months, maybe 4, 6, 8 months, up to 8 months. Sometimes it can take up to a year. Sometimes it really depends on the retailer and how fast they want to move. If it's a new account, and we get in at the right time, it could take a matter of a month. The relationships that I have already established, with the regional chains, I know when their review schedules are, and it's a matter of me following up at the appropriate time and getting them what they need. So it really depends on the retailer. Some of them want, some of them you can make it in one sales call and you can have an order next week. So it really depends on the retailer.
And Ron, with the buyers, are they all the same, have the same characteristics and same needs, and the same approach works with all of them, or they're different?
Typically, yeah, typically they do have the same characteristics. A lot of them, a lot of buyers sometimes don't like to take chances. They don't like to be wrong in terms of buying a particular product. They want to be right 100% of the time, and they don't want to make a mistake. But as part of this process, you know what, sometimes you have to take a chance on a new item if you're going to be successful and if you're going to be number one. That's where I say Walmart is one of the accounts that do take a lot of chances. And that makes them a little bit more successful because they're willing to take those risks a little bit more than a smaller chain that doesn't have the resources to take those risks and absorb it. But buyers are typically, you know, sometimes you have buyers that are willing to take a back seat and wait for the bigger chains to do it. And then sometimes you have buyers that say, you know, I like this, I want it in the store, and, you know, how can we have this done as quickly as possible? So it really ranges.
But in general, the buyers are risk adverse.
Absolutely.
Ron, how many times, a lot of, you kind of make sales sound almost glamorous except for your traveling thing. But a lot of people don't understand, I think, how many times you hear the word no. Tell our listeners about the word no and how you handle that and what the word no means to you.
Well, what the word no means to me personally is that you haven't given me enough information to buy yet. And you haven't given me enough reasons to buy yet. That's what the word no means to me as a salesperson. And you have to take it that way because just because a buyer says no today doesn't mean that they'll say no tomorrow or no next week or no next month. The word no also means that obviously they're not ready to buy today, but that buyer may not be in that position next week when you call. So you always have to take that with a grain of salt and say, okay, you know what, it's a no today, but tomorrow's another day, and you just have to keep plugging forward because the more no's you get, the closer you are to a yes.
If you had to give a piece of advice to somebody about being in sales, what would it be?
I would say you have to have a thick skin, and not all calls are gonna result in a sale. But you have to be resilient, and you have to make sure that you are very organized. I think my organization skills have helped tremendously over the years, knowing when to follow up with a particular buyer so you're not pushing too hard. You have to know when the right time is to meet with a buyer, offer them something that really, really would help them out. You have to always keep your customer in mind. Obviously you want to make a sale, but always keep in mind that the customer, how can you make that customer more successful? And you would be, I don't think you're going to go wrong with that piece of advice.
Yeah, I've always told people you have a solution, you got to look for the problem, and then you have to remember that it's the customer who needs to succeed, not you.
Exactly. Yep, I agree 100% with that assessment, and that's part of sales. It's part of making sure that when you go to a trade show and that when you when you meet buyers that you're respectful. They know where you're coming from. Find out about buyers. It's not always about making a sale. Find out about buyers. Find out about their how they're doing to their families. Find out, how many kids they have. When you walk into a room, look and see if they have pictures of their families up. If they have kids, how old their kids are. One thing I can definitely tell you about sales is people love talking about themselves. And the more you find, the more you find out about someone, and the more open they are, and the more relaxed they are, and the more comfortable they are with you, the easier they will be in terms of working with you and trying to find common ground.
Well, along that line,
really remembering that sales is not talking, sales is listening.
Exactly. Sometimes as salespeople, we think we know what's best for that customer. We want to sell them a product that we think will make them more successful. But in reality, you know, it's the other way around, and they're looking for something. Sometimes you have to sell them what they want, not sell them what you think they want.
Right.
You know, so I think that that's another important aspect to point out.
And Ron, when you were in school,
we just got a few minutes left. Tell us a little bit about Wisconsin PharmaCal, and because I work with Wisconsin PharmaCal, I have to give a plug to the owner, you know, John Wondrock, and he's like the consummate entrepreneur. So tell our listeners a little bit about John and Wisconsin PharmaCal.
Sure, Wisconsin PharmaCal. We're located in Jackson, Wisconsin, which is about a half hour north of Milwaukee. We manufacture over-the-counter products for retail chains throughout the country. We also manufacture a lot of store brand products. When you go into a Walgreens brand or a CVS brand or a Rite Aid brand of products, so we manufacture a lot of over-the-counter products for the retail chains. And our company also does several things. You know, we have a water purification tablet that we provide to the U.S. military, and that we provide for international relief when there's international disasters. And that water purification tablet makes any fresh water source bacteriologically safe to drink. We also do some international business, but mainly what our core focus is doing over-the-counter products for retail chains throughout the country. And John Wondrock is indeed the head of our company. He's a wonderful individual. He's an entrepreneur, and he's always looking for the next multi-million dollar opportunity. And he attacks a business like that, and nothing is off the table in terms of what we can or can't do. If it's something that a customer is interested in and we don't have the capability to do it today, that doesn't mean that we're not going to make the investment and hopefully do it for that customer and open up our portfolio in terms of the items that we can manufacture in this facility. So he's a very forward-thinking individual, and that's what you need when you're the head of a business, and you always have to be open and willing to listen to everyone in the company. From the guy sweeping the floors to the CEO, everyone has opinions, and you can't dismiss any opinion from anyone in your company because any opinion could be the next multi-million dollar idea.
Well, Ron, how can our listeners get in touch with you and your company?
Sure. They can give us a call. My 800 number is 1-800-558-6614, and that's our 800 number. My extension is 7129. Or you can go to our website, which is www.pharmacal, and that's PharmacalWay, pharmacalway.com.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on our show today, Ron. Our listeners really appreciate you sharing your experiences and insights about the buying process.
Well, thank you very much for the invite, and hopefully we can do this again real soon. And anything I can do to help my fellow salesperson, I'm really ready, willing, and able to do that.
Super. Another great show, Bill.
It really was, Ron, and I really enjoyed having Ron Roach on the show today. I also want to give a special thanks to today's sponsor, Envision Sales and Marketing. Envision Sales and Marketing, we go the extra step so you don't have to fret. Visit our website at envisionsalesandmarketing.com.
And you can go to our blog, thelaunchhour.businessradiox.com, to listen again to today's show, plus a lot of previous shows. That's Ron Reardon and Bill McHenry signing off another great session of The Launch Hour.